Good morning, Kiwana Life. I need to start today by letting you know that today's sermon will be a good one. It'll be a really good one because today we are talking about the Golden Rule. And I think that's really timely because the Olympics is on right now. And there has been a bit of golden action happening there. So go Team Australia. We're continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount, which is a big block of Jesus' teaching in Matthew's Gospel, which has inspired Christians and even non-Christians alike for centuries. John Stott notes that the Sermon on the Mount presents the essence of the teaching of Jesus. It makes goodness attractive. It shames our shabby performance. It encourages dreams of a better world. And boy, could we use a better world right now. And to help us this morning, I'm actually preaching from the mount that Jesus preached his sermon from, Mount Eremos. See? No, I don't think that's right. It definitely looked different from when I was there in 2014. I prefer the real Mount Eremos. I said the real Mount Eremos. Perfection. But as you can see, you know, it's not much of a mountain, even less so than Mount Coulomb. And we're not even sure if this is actually the spot where Jesus was actually doing the Sermon on the Mount from. Jesus was just on the Sea of Galilee, and then Matthew tells us he went on top of and went up to a mountainside, and here we are. Anyway, let's go straight to the pool room and talk about the big idea in this passage, the Golden Rule. I remember the first time that I learned the Golden Rule. I was very young and I encountered it in a newspaper, if you remember what a newspaper is. Anyway, when you are little, you know exactly what to do if you find a newspaper. You know what I mean? You pick up a newspaper, you know what to do. You skip all the boring bits. You get about three quarters of the way through. If you get the sports section, you've gone too far, you got to go back. And there, you find the cartoons. And they usually had things like, you know, Phantom, Peanuts, Foot Trot Flats. And something that I really liked was one called The Wizard of Id. And here's a Wizard of Id for you right here. And in The Wizard of Id, you know, there was a king who was super short and tiny, but he was greedy and vindictive. And you had the wizard who was, you know, the funny guy who was a bit cynical and all that kind of stuff. And you had all the people in the Pink Kingdom who were cynical and oppressed. Anyway, I learned about the Golden Rule from the Wizard of Id. And I've dug up the cartoon to show you. Here it is. Let's have a look at it together. The Wizard of Id. In conclusion, fellow peasants, this is the tiny, tiny king speaking. Let me stress the need for peace and harmony. Remember that the Golden Rule, we must all live by the Golden Rule. And of course, the people ask, well, what the heck is the Golden Rule? And the jester very cheekily says, whoever has the gold makes the rules. Whoever has the gold makes the rules. And in many ways, that's pretty much how much of the world has been governed for much of history. You know, those with power, wealth and influence, they make the rules. And often, the rules that they make are to benefit the powerful, the wealthy, the influential. Whoever has the gold makes the rules. Of course, this is not the Golden Rule found on the lips of Jesus. In fact, this is kind of the opposite of the Golden Rule of the Kingdom of God. Jesus' Golden Rule goes like this, Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do for you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is Jesus' Golden Rule, and I think we can all agree that it is vastly superior to that offered by the Wizard of Id. And I think it's fair to say that if everybody lived like this, well, what a different place the world would be. No more war, no more arguments, no more murder, racism, hatred. The world would be a different place. Maybe you are aware of this, maybe you aren't, but Jesus actually wasn't the first to teach the Golden Rule. In fact, the golden rule is spoken about in different forms, is spoken about in many ancient civilizations who had no contact with the Bible. Unsurprisingly, the Old Testament, of course, has some of the most ancient elements of the golden rule, with Leviticus 19 saying, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. However, you know, in 600 BC, you know, Buddha was saying things like, hurt not others with what pains yourself. Mm-hmm. And in 500 BC, Confucius sums up his teaching by saying, don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. In fact, many ancient civilizations and religions developed some kind of form of the golden rule independently of what God was doing through his people in the Middle East there. What do we think about this as Christians? And if other cultures did things just fine and worked out a system of ethics about how to live without killing each other, why do we even need Jesus? There's two very important observations here to be made. First, God has revealed himself to all people through his creation. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. Creation itself reveals things about God. Just by living each day and observing the world, we experience the goodness of God. We see how things are designed to grow and develop, and the world is ordered in a way that the creation would thrive in symbiotic relationships. I mean, all you need to do is watch one of David Attenborough's documentaries to see how ordered and how beautiful the creation is and how it all fits together so intricately. Over time, humans have observed this, have studied this, and applied this ordered nature of creation that they see around them into systems of ethics and relationships that allow people to work together, just as the creation works together. And so many cultures develop the golden rule independently. But here's where things get a little bit different. Jesus puts a different spin on the golden rule, just like he did with a whole bunch of rules. About 100 years before Jesus, there was a very, very famous rabbi called Hillel the Elder, and he's even a big deal in Judaism today. He was a really, you know, celebrity, famous guy, and you can see his influence actually all over the New Testament by the sorts of questions that people would ask Jesus because they were influenced by Hillel. For example, you know, Matthew 19:3, you know, it says this, some Pharisees came to Jesus to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? And the reason why the Pharisees are asking this question is because that is exactly what Hillel taught. You know what I mean? There's this school of thought that Hillel was talking about, and he was arguing about this kind of rules on divorce. And it was one of the, you know, more significant debated and discussed and argued topics of the day. And it's because of Hillel that they were asking this question. So this is really interesting. You think about the New Testament. There's a few questions in there come straight from this school of Hillel. Anyway, Hillel taught the golden rule. In fact, there's a very famous menorah in Israel right now with Hillel there, a bit of a statue, teaching a young guy the golden rule. And Hillel said this, what is hateful for yourself, don't do to another. That is the whole Torah, as in that's the whole Old Testament. The rest is commentary. Go and learn. But when you look at all these different golden rules, you know, Buddha's hurt not, Confucius's don't do, and Hillel's, you know, what is hateful to yourself, don't do. It's pretty clear that what all these, you know, great people are suggesting is that what you should not do. All of these are thou shalt not kind of commandments rather than what we should do. If you think about it, you know, there are big similarities between what all these guys are actually saying and, you know, the Hippocratic oath of do no harm. The thing is, if do no harm is your golden rule, well, you can follow the golden rule by doing nothing at all. You can just sit there at home because you're in lockdown and don't do anything at all, and you would be following that golden rule to a T without even lifting a finger. You give yourself a pat on the back, be proud of your achievements, and celebrate a life well lived, having done absolutely nothing. Jesus' golden rule is not like the golden rules of this world. Jesus' golden rule is do, not don't. Do. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Can you see how Jesus' golden rule is actually completely different to all those others? For the others, you can do nothing and be a model citizen. For Jesus, doing nothing means that you are failing at the golden rule. It's not enough for a follower of Jesus to simply do no harm. Followers of Jesus actively look at the world around them, look for where there is need, and they do. They identify needs. They come up with solutions. They actively respond in some way, and they do to others what they would have others do to them. Followers of Jesus are not passive, waiting for the world to change. They are actively challenging the sin and evil in the world and helping others to be free of sin and evil. And this, of course, is the main idea of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount when it comes to how we treat other people. Now, just before these verses, chapter 7, verse 1, talks about not judging people unfairly. Instead, you know, we use wise and fair judgment, just like we would like to be judged. Verse 3, you know, we don't criticize others when we are guilty of the same kind of thing. First, we deal with our own issues and we help others with theirs, because that is how we want to be treated. This means that we give people the benefit of the doubt, because we like to be given the benefit of the doubt. This means that we look for opportunities to extend grace to others, even when we don't deserve it, because let's face it, sometimes we don't deserve grace. Throughout the centuries, Christians have practiced the golden rule in a variety of ways. The early church, of course, cared for the poor and rescued abandoned children that were left to die. The first hospitals in human history were built by the church in the 4th century. And by the Middle Ages, these hospitals run by the church, they actually had more elderly and poor people being looked after than actually sick people, if you know what I mean. It was a social welfare system. More recently, Christians have exercised the golden rule by, you know, refusing to fight in times of war, defending the rights of the unborn, advocating on behalf of asylum seekers, challenging the sexualization of children in our society, preaching the gospel in ways that make sense to unchurched people. And even the practice of mask wearing, as annoying as it is an expression of putting others first. All of these things are good things, and there are lots of other ways for us to live out the golden rule today. But what I think is really interesting is that most people who don't believe in Jesus, they see great benefit in following the golden rule. And a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus try to live this way. I find it really interesting that philosophers such as Immanuel Kant has taken Jesus's golden rule, and he's taken Jesus out of it, and he's repackaged the rule, and he's called it ethics, and suggested this is the way for people to live. You know, ethics are a set of rules to live by that govern the way that people interact. And I think it's good that people live ethical lives influenced by the teaching of Jesus, even if they don't admit it. But here's the problem with that. Here's the thing. You can't separate Jesus' golden rule from the context in which it is given. What does Jesus say in verse 12 here? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do for you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus himself said he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Jesus' golden rule is not a replacement of what is in the Old Testament. It fulfills what is in the Old Testament. Now that we know Jesus' golden rule, it doesn't mean that we can get rid of Jesus. Instead, it informs us how we live our lives in him. Jesus lived out the law and the prophets to perfection, and he set the ultimate example of how to live our lives. In fulfilling the law and the prophets, he went to the cross to save the broken and the damaged creation, and he restoring that brokenness with love. As Christians, We don't follow a law. We don't have a set of ethics or code that we live by. We follow a person. We follow God, Jesus Christ. And even though we all continue to fail at following Jesus, his death and his resurrection means that we can continue to be part of his family, and we can continue to follow him all our lives, even when we fail. We have a loving and forgiving God. Which is why in the verses leading up to this part, Jesus says these words. So this is chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus is good to us. So therefore, if we are to follow him, let's be good to others. Let's look for opportunities, especially during this season, of putting others first, to announce the kingdom of God with the way that we live our lives, and show that a life with Jesus, a real relationship with a person, is better by living by a code of ethics or a rule book or a culture that tells us this is the way. In closing, I'd like to just return to the Wizard of Id once more. If you remember from before, you know, the golden rule according to the Wizard of Id is he who has the gold makes the rules. And we had a bit of a laugh about that before. But if you think about it, this also applies to the kingdom of God. God is sovereign over the world and over all of us. God has all the gold. God created all the gold in the world, and he makes more if he wants to. And we read in the Bible that God made the rules. He created the earth and the way the planets move and the day and the night and the waters and gravity and physics and all of that. God created the rules of nature. He created people, knowing full well that if humans were to flourish, living by his teaching and treating each other well, that is the key to human flourishing. So at the end of the day, the Wizard of Oz kind of has it true all along. He who has the gold makes the rules. And I'm so grateful that God is the one who has all the gold. And God is the one who made the rules. And those rules are golden. And if I follow Jesus, I can experience the life he has for me by living his way. Not a struggle-free life, not a life free from suffering, but a good life, a golden life with Jesus, one where I do to others as I would have them do to me. And by doing so, I can announce this incredible kingdom of God, a kingdom which is good. So may we all live that life, not the one of following some crazy rules, but following a person, Jesus Christ. And may we announce this kingdom and live full lives in him. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are sovereign. You are powerful over all. And you made all the earth, made all the people, made all the gold. And you made the rules of this place, God. And thank you that those rules are good. And that by following you, we can be inspired to do to others as we would have them do to us, just as you are so good to us, God. So I just want to pray for myself and for everyone part of this church right now that our eyes might be opened to look to see for the opportunities that we have to do good to those, to others, as we would have them do to us. Help us to be caring and kind and take advantage of any opportunity it is to show others what your kingdom is like, a kingdom of love, a kingdom where others are put first. I just want to pray, God, that as we continue to try to be your church in an interesting time, that we might have a real sense that you are there with us every step along the way, that we are not alone in the way that we are trying to live out the values of your kingdom, and that you're with us no matter what's going on. So God, I just want to pray that we have strength to be able to not just know your word, but to carry it out, And that this week you might be really good at doing to others as we would have them do to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us this morning, Koinonia Life Online. It's been great once again to share with you in this unorthodox way. I want you to throw down some comments and say hi to people as the video stops, because we want to stay connected during this time as best as we can. So keep caring for each other, keep loving each other, and do to others as you would have them do to you. Have a great week. Amen.